This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do it.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. We continue with Wake Up Call. Super Bowl 57 in the books. But boy, what a memorable game. We're going to have the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. Then we're going to do a little good, the bad, and the dumb Super Bowl edition or NFL edition coming up at hour number three as we're rolling along this morning. A couple of things about the game last night, which I was glad to see. I was glad to see that we got a good game. You don't know how these things play out, right? I mean, how many Super Bowls, when you get 2 weeks of hype, never live up to what they're supposed to be?
I'd say most of them.
Right. That's basically right. Exactly. Because you spend 2 weeks, and I use the San Francisco San Diego example in Super Bowl 29.
Oh, thank you.
I know. I love it. I'm sorry. when the Steelers lost that AFC title game, I remember one thing people were telling me to kind of comfort me. They're like, well, you won't get rolled by the 49ers. Because the 49ers were a machine. Steve Young and the Niners, they were great. And the Steelers had a very, very good year. Very good year. But even that, you would say, I don't know, man. The Niners are just like destined. But when San Diego won as this wild card team on the road, there were a lot of people saying, oh, this will be a blowout. But by the time we got to the Super Bowl, there was like, I don't know, man. I've been breaking this down, and I think the Chargers can do this. There's a chance. Because if you give people plenty of time to analyze it, they can see things. They can find little nuggets. They can see little things. And then what happened? The Niners blew them out, and everybody was like, oh, my original thought was what ended up happening.
Just real quick, I think that's the biggest blowout in Super Bowl history, because even though the score makes it look closer, it never really was.
It really never was. You're right. It really never was. But in this case, we had a 1-point spread, 1.5-point spread. People thought it was going to be close. People thought it was going to be a good game. And it ended up being a good game.
It did.
And it a 10-point lead at halftime. I was a little nervous because of the injury for Mahomes. And look, the Eagles were rolling. I mean, even despite the defensive touchdown that Kansas City had, the Eagles were having a great offensive series. They were driving up and down the field, completing passes, running the ball well. And I thought to myself, this could get out of hand. If Patrick Mahomes can't play or is very, very limited and Chad Henne's on the field, this is going to get ridiculous. I didn't realize the unbelievable adjustments that the Chiefs made. And I don't even know if there were adjustments, more just keep up with the game plan and just execute it. They scored 17 points in the fourth quarter. And a lot of it had to do with Kadarius Toney and the punt return that set him up for yet another quick score after they had just scored and stopped the Eagles. But in the second half, the Chiefs didn't turn the ball over. They didn't punt. They scored on every possession. It's just like you would dial up with a quarterback limping into the locker room on a 10-point deficit.
Exactly. In the game plan.
Right, in the game plan. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. And so, to me, that was the thing I loved most about it was a very well-played game, good game. Yes, the holding call is probably a mark on this game that people aren't going to get over. Some people will go, nah, it was a hold. And some people will say, no, it wasn't. Some people will say it's a hold, but not a terrible call at the moment. There's all sorts of ways to look at it. But the reality of it is, man, it was outstanding. I thought everything about last night was great. The anthem, the halftime show, the play on the field, the commercials, some were hits, some were terrible, but that's the way it is every year. But I just think that holding call is going to just make people think that this Super Bowl was ruined. I hope they don't, because there's a lot to take away out of this game. The result of this game, there was a lot. Let's put it to you this way. You're watching something with Patrick Mahomes that is unlike anything you've ever seen in this league. You've seen quarterbacks win more Super Bowls. You've seen quarterbacks do different things and establish themselves as the years go on. For example, Joe Montana won 4 Super Bowls over a decade, right? He won his first one in 1981, the season of 1981. He won his last one in the season of 1989. You've seen Tom Brady go to 10 of these things, win 7 of them. But you've never seen a quarterback with so much success so quickly in his career. At 27 years old, look at the resume. It's an addition to a building resume that's growing and growing. But I also think in the Eagles, you're seeing a system that worked. And it should provide some hope for fans of teams where you go into the season wondering if the quarterback is going to be everything he's supposed to be, but you've built something really great around that individual. You've built him a great offensive line. You've built him a great defensive line. You've built him good wide receivers. You've built so much around him that is outstanding, and the coaching is great. It gives teams hope that that might be a method of squeezing in a championship, right, into this era of great quarterbacks that might be dominating this league for so long. That was the hope that the Eagles had. That's not to take away from Jalen Hurts, because I don't think you would have read this season as the Eagles won with an average quarterback. No, Jalen Hurts is emerging as a star. He's emerging as a star. There's no question about it. And the Super Bowl performance, where we have seen players throw up on themselves because of the magnitude of the moment, Hurts put on a fantastic performance. But there's something very, very special that is being built with Patrick Mahomes that you can sense that is sort of, if you believe in that sort of karmic thing in sports where things are going to just happen for an individual and there's nothing anybody can do about it, that's where Patrick Mahomes is getting. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to get all astrological or anything. But do you know what I mean? It's like, I think of Derek Jeter, for example, right?
Yeah.
I think of Derek Jeter. It's like you could tell something was special with Derek Jeter.
And there's going to be a moment special where, you know, they're on the road during the playoffs. You know, eventually it's got to happen.
Exactly.
There'll be a moment where they're not in the AFC Championship game. And, you know, there might be a 2 or 3 year gap where he's not making Super Bowls. But comparing him to Derek Jeter is a perfect example. Because what was Derek Jeter's first 5 years, four years?
He was
in the World Series.
He was in the World Series. Yeah, he was Rookie of the Year. They won the World. He came in 95. Yeah. They were in the playoffs. He did not win. They lost to Seattle. But then his first full rookie season, they won the World Series. But like, they knew the people that assigned the numbers. You know, the Yankees, they value the single digit, right? The guys that get the single digits are special. And they had one ready for him. They had a single digit. He wasn't 22. He wasn't 13. He was 2, right? Where the Yankee lore is about those guys that wore the single digits.
And now there's no more left, right?
And now I don't think there is. I don't think there's any left.
They're done.
And so you see this larger, like almost cosmic way a career comes to fruition, right? Like, and Tom Brady has got a little bit of that too with the tuck rule and everything. Like all of this idea that there's just these things that are in play that are allowing an individual to blossom under this sport. And I think Patrick Mahomes is getting that. I mean, we've talked about his story so much about what the Chiefs did just to get him in the position to be successful. They gave up on Alex Smith. And before you laugh at that, that was a big deal at the time that they did that. They were giving the reins of the team to this young man who people gave a C-plus grade when they moved up to get him. They gave him the reins knowing there was something special there when Alex Smith was consistently getting them into the postseason, which everyone will tell you is not half the battle of getting to the Super Bowl. It's like 90% of the battle getting to the Super Bowl. The regular season, it's just so hard to get to the playoffs to even get to a championship that in order to get a Super Bowl, you at least got to get to the tournament, and they were getting there consistently with Alex Smith, but they went, no, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. We can't keep going and losing. We have to find a different way of doing this, and they were willing to risk the idea that a guy in his second year may struggle enough that they don't make the playoffs, may struggle that they get in the playoffs, but it's the same result that Alex Smith was giving them. But they believed in something that has paid off in just an amazing way. Like we were saying, 5 straight AFC title games at home, 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, now 2 titles. So, you know, I'm not telling anybody that the holding call at the end of that game is not a big deal. It is. It is a big deal. It is going to be part of the story because I think we ended up, we had a ruined finish based on what we wanted to see in a clash between two quarterbacks. But the end result is something that is going to be larger than this game because this individual that we've been talking about is going to be in the conversation as greatest to play. And we're going to have a similar debate, Ron, about what he did with his career in context to what Brady did with his career, like we did it with Montana and Brady and Elway and Brady, where is it Super Bowls? Is it winning Super Bowls? Is it going to Super Bowls? Or is it the way you play this position? The way you make something out of nothing, the way you overcome this, this, or this. There's going to be levels to the onion that are going to be fun. We did it with Jordan, LeBron, Kobe. Like we've done it a million times in the NBA with is 6-0 better than going to 9 straight finals? Is it, or whatever. We take what you have and we take what the other person has and we go, we can't compare apples to apples, but we can compare fruit to fruit. And what's the fruit to fruit comparison on this? And Mahomes may not go to 10 Super Bowls. He may not. He may not win 7. But you might say if he wins 5, you might go, yeah, but man, no one did it. No one did it better than that kid. Boy, my God, it may be that case. There's a generation coming up that this has been their guy. We'll see. We'll see. But that's my takeaway from last night. Who was it? Kurt Menefee last night brought it up. It's the bloody sock game. It's Willis Reed. It's all these things that we always look back on and say, flu game for Jordan. There's something about Super Bowl 57, the ankle game.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser!
By the way, getting two Good, the Bad, and the Dumbs today. In third hour, we're going to do Good, the Bad, and the Dumb from the NFL season now that it is wrapped up with the Super Bowl. But this is the Good, Bad, and the Dumb that we do every single day at this time. What's the good of the day?
Good of the day. So I'm not going to keep it football related. I'm going to save that for later.
All right.
So the good of the day is an Auburn student.
Okay.
Drilled a 94-foot putt to win a car.
Hey,
at
how awesome is that?
Halftime of Alabama, Auburn-Alabama basketball game.
So was this like through a hole, like a little?
They had, let's say, a sign at the other. It was on a basketball court, first of all. This was where I was like, more amazing to me that he did it on a basketball court.
Yeah, bouncing all over the place.
Yeah, and it was from one end of the court all the way to the other. They just had a little sign and then what looked like a little mouse hole.
And it goes through?
And it went through. Like, it didn't even hit anything. It just, like, perfectly lined up.
The crowd must have gone crazy.
Oh, my God. That's an impossible thing to do.
Do we know what kind of car he won? Do they say in the article?
Oh, I'm sure. But, I pay attention to those details?
Yeah, no. I'm just wondering. Was it a Mercedes or something like that?
No, probably like a Ford Fiesta. No offense, Ford Fiesta.
Good for him, man. That's great. That's great. Even if it was a used car from Bob's used car lot,
right.
I still would have taken it. That's still great. Good for him.
I can't imagine. I mean, on a basketball court, I think that draws the impossible probability.
Yeah. What do you do? What do you like? How do you even judge it? Like you're just.
Yeah, it's not like golfing.
You just go. It's not golfing. It's not like you're reading the line and then you're hoping that the grain of the grass holds true.
Yeah.
You're just like, here it is. I'll just hit the ball and.
This is supposed to be
it'll go down there.
Supposed to be nice and smooth all the way across, but you know a basketball court has little bumps and here and there.
Well, imagine the insurance company having to pay that out.
Yep.
Yeah. You have to get insurance for those things, but I can remember doing a lot of radio bits where the promotions person's like, we gotta get insurance. Like, no one will ever predict the top 10 draft picks. Like,
right.
No, we still have to. Right? We're not
just
on the hook
in
for
case.
This. Just in case. So, yeah, so you do these
all of
impossible
a sudden,
things.
Bob with Gray Sports Almanac comes in and has not only the top 10, but the top 20.
Exactly. Hole-in-one competitions, things like that. You always got to get a little insurance. But, yeah, wins a car. That's pretty awesome. That's fantastic.
Yep.
So, all right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is that I'm pretty certain now, Tony, that intergalactic war is headed our way.
You know what? I actually told my wife this, man. I was telling my wife this during halftime. I was like, you know, we're sitting there watching Rihanna, and meanwhile, the aliens might be coming down and kind of getting ready for an invasion.
So if you didn't hear the story yesterday, and I'm not sure how you didn't hear it, they closed the airspace above Lake Michigan, Lake Huron area, more on the Canadian side than the U.S. side, due to an unidentified flying object.
That's great.
And so much to the point where there was one of those EWAC planes. That's the big plane that has the big radar dish on top of it.
Yeah.
Was just doing laps around this thing. And then there was a tanker airplane, too, KC-35, I believe that's where they are, where, you know, refuels the plane midair so it could just stay up in the air. And then it came a couple hours after that, and two F-16 pilots shot down the unidentified flying object over Lake Huron, I believe.
Yep, and they went to go get it. And now they have it.
And no idea what it is.
It's
it could have just been another balloon, could have been, I don't know, who knows, but it's an unidentified flying object, and if it is an alien, then, yeah, I think there's going to be a retaliation.
All right. So when I was young, when I was a kid, I would read books about this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And it was always like Bob and Melinda Hill were in the middle of nowhere, Montana, and he was abducted by an alien. Like, you'd read these crazy stories of people in the middle of nowhere, no eyewitnesses, no nothing. And so the UFO phenomenon became like, do you believe in UFOs? And you'd be like, well, a bunch of these people in the woods, they got abducted by aliens. I think I believe them. And some people would say, yeah, but if they were real UFOs, why wouldn't we see them? Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it feels like over the last 5 or 6 years, a lot of people are seeing them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, all of a sudden, the government's like, yeah, here's a whole bunch of video. We've been seeing them for years.
And here's firsthand encounters from our pilots. You know, it used to be was classified, but
all
now
classified.
It's not.
Yeah, now you got all these people going, yep, and they show a video of a thing that goes from, like, 0 to 40,000 miles an hour in a split second. Like, it's like...
Stop on a dime.
Right, and then stop on a dime, and then turn around, wave, and then go back 200 miles an hour.
It's like it's messing with you.
Right, and so... Now it's like, okay, now they've shot one of these things down, and who knows what it actually is, but at the same time, you're like, I'm marrying this with a whole bunch of people going, yeah, you know what? Okay, yeah.
Well, for me, I mean, I feel like this way is that now it's just, I almost feel like somebody should come out and just go, guys, yeah, obviously we're not the only ones in this entire
and they're coming.
Universe.
And that would scare me because... Hollywood has told us they're never friendly.
Right.
Never. Ever, ever.
Even when they appeared friendly.
Right.
They weren't friendly.
Here's a book to serve man. We're just going to help you out a little bit. And by the way, ignore the fact that there's oregano and thyme and cook it to 350 degrees until it's a light golden brown. Ignore that part of the book.
We're actually
here to help you with a bunch of other stuff.
Listen, I mean, you know, I was on Saturday, I believe, they were doing like a Men in Black marathon. And I was exhausted from, you know, the previous week. So I really, Saturday, I was just like, you know, I'm going to kick my feet back up. I was watching a little bit of the Men in Black marathon. They have nice aliens there in that movie. But what's the main thing in all three of those movies? There's an alien attack. There's a rogue alien, a mean alien who's hell-bent on destroying the planet. That's all three of those movies.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, sure, there's nice aliens. I mean, you know, they make fun of that, you know, Al Roker's an alien, Dennis Rodman's an alien, you know, all those type of jokes. So, yeah, there's probably aliens walking among us.
Who knows? Who knows?
But when we start shooting their planes down, now we're in trouble.
Now we're in trouble. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
It's the Super Bowl commercial that I remembered the most.
Okay.
And that was Tubi.
Yes! This is the Killer Rabbits or the Mean Rabbits.
Tubi.
No, not that one?
No, it wasn't the Killer Rabbit one. Tubi was the one where you thought somebody had hit the remote on
your TV. Yeah, that's right. I remember that. Yeah. Because I did freak out a little bit.
Yeah, my wife immediately goes, hey, Ron, what'd you do? And I said, the remote's next to you.
Yeah. It was very similar to the Sopranos moment where the screen went black and everybody thought their cable went out.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody thought their TV was changing.
You know, I think I've seen Tubi. On my smart TV, I just never clicked on it. I don't know anything about Tubi. I don't even know what they have available on Tubi. But I will say that it's a brilliant commercial because it made everyone mad. Everyone took to social media to complain about the same thing. Like, that was the rudest commercial ever.
Right.
But we're talking about them.
We're talking about Tubi. Yeah.
Because there are some commercials. There was another commercial I was watching. It's like, oh, this must be a car commercial. And it's not. It's something else. And I was like, I don't get it.
What was your favorite commercial of the night? Did you have one?
No, I got to go back and watch them.
Yeah.
If you ask me, honestly, it's going to be Tubi. Because that's the one I remember the most.
You know what I found myself doing last night, which was I wasn't paying attention to the commercials as much. I was on Twitter. I was following Twitter all night long of everybody complaining about this or commenting on this or that or this or that. And so I kind of wasn't deeply involved in the commercials. But I will say at the beginning of the game, I wasn't impressed with any commercials. And then I sort of mentally checked out. And then
I'm 100%
really,
with you.
There was nothing that really popped that made me go, oh, this was worth the $7 million for the 30 seconds that you're paying. And then I just mentally was like checking out of it. But my wife said, oh, did you see this one? Did you see this one? And I go, no. Apparently the farmer's dog commercial caught everybody's emotion.
I only learned about that one because USA Today, an alert popped up on my phone saying, this won the ad meter contest.
Yeah, everyone was saying the farmer's dog commercial
was
going
to have
best.
To watch it later.
Well, you're right. I'm going to have to go to YouTube and start watching more of these.
The only ones I remember the John Travolta one.
That actually was pretty funny. I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah.
They changed the lyrics up, although he couldn't really hit that high note. I was a little disappointed.
No, I wanted him to hit that high note, but he's like, no, I'm not going to hit that one. The Breaking Bad one was pretty good, but I'm not big. Like, to me, I'm not a huge nostalgia guy. You got to do it right. I thought they did it good, but if you sell me, you don't have to hit me with nostalgia all the time, you know, but I thought that was good. And there were a couple of others that I thought were pretty funny. I thought the Rockstar one was great. I thought that was funny with Ozzy Osbourne and Paul Stanley guys. I thought that was kind of funny.
You know what bothered me? One was, and I'm a huge fan of the Foo Fighters, Dave Grohl's.
Dave Grohl's Thank You Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But because I wasn't a huge fan of it because, kind of made me mad that Canadians invented football.
Yeah.
I don't know why that bothered me. It should.
Exactly.
You can invent things and we perfected it, but it's like, I thought that was ours.
Who's that comedian that once said, I went to Canada and I was asked by a guy, what do you Americans think of us Canadians? And he goes, I don't. I was like, yeah, we don't. And then Dave Grohl kind of came around and reminded us
of
all the great things
for this
Canada.
And this and that and this.
Yeah. Including Crown Royal? Is that was that the point of that?
I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, it's
Wake
Up Canada.
Call. We got our own whiskey.
Continuing coverage of Super Bowl 57 as we roll along.
You have my heart, and we'll never be worlds apart. Maybe in magazines,
this but you still call. Be on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, I thought Rihanna's halftime show was really good. I didn't have any problems with it. I know people love to hate on the halftime show.
No, everyone does.
You can't win. You do the best you can, and then, you know, you've got a limited amount of time. You're trying to entertain. There's a lot of critics. And here's the other thing. I've said this for years. I think people need to understand. So these artists, they're used to going to concerts. Doing concerts in front of their people, their fans, right? So they don't hear the social media backlash unless they don't show, like, unless their concert is so horrible that their fans give them a backlash. But they're not used to performing in front of a 200 million base audience where a good number of people aren't really fans of their music or may not know their music. They may not know who these people are. Like, you know, some people watched the Super Bowl last night. Maybe like, oh, I know one or two of these songs. That's not my genre. I like this.
Like I said earlier too, it's like watching her, I knew she had hits.
Right.
I didn't know those were her hits.
Right, exactly.
I knew the song Umbrella because I know we've played it on here before. I know the other song, I don't think she sang it, Don't Stop the Music.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think she sang that one yesterday, but I've heard of that song, but then it was shocking. When you hear songs, I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was her.
So every one of these artists, they do the halftime show, and then here comes people who hate it. They think it's awful and it's embarrassing, and then there's others who love it, and it depends. But I think universally, I felt like last night, I think most people liked it and said, oh, it was very good. It was entertaining. It was really fun.
Yeah. I said it wasn't better than last year.
Now, who was last year again?
Last year was Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg,
yeah.
Eminem.
That's right. That was very good. That one, right. In L.A. That was very good. That was, but I didn't like The Weeknd. Remember when The Weeknd did his?
Oh, God.
I didn't like that with the mirrors and everything like that.
That was funny. You know, I saw that GIF again, The Weeknd, like going through, like lost in that mirrors.
Right,
and
right.
That's when people were posting that, like me trying to find the remote during that Tubi commercial. Right. Like, what's going on?
Right. And so there have been a lot of hit and misses, but for the most part, you know, it's a hard thing to do. And, you know, they don't. The NFL doesn't pay them. You know, their record companies get them out there in front of these. And it worked. I saw a thread on Twitter the other day where a guy was pointing out how all these artists that did the Super Bowl halftime show saw an increase in ticket sales or saw an increase in social media content. Like Shakira and J-Lo weren't going on a tour together, didn't collaborate on a record. But they saw their social media profiles jump up, which means more money for them in ways when they promote stuff. So there's something that they all get out of it. And some of the artists have put their own money into it, but most of it's their record companies because they got something to promote. They're like, yeah, we'll pay the NFL. But all of that is paid for. Everything that you see on the field during a halftime show, that's all paid for by whoever's putting it on, right? So if she's working for whatever record company, they're footing that bill. The NFL doesn't put any of the bill. Security, dancers, all that stuff is on the people that are paying for that privilege to be in front of 200 million people. And that, to me, I couldn't believe the NFL wasn't always doing that. Right? The NFL would be like, we're charging people $7 million for a 60-second commercial, for a 30-second commercial. They get $7 million. We're giving you 20 minutes of a halftime, maybe longer than that, for a halftime show. Your artist is getting in front of all of these people around the world. Yeah, you can pony up some money for that. Yeah, we can charge for that. Yeah, exactly.
I will tell you this. You know, there was a lot of movie previews because that's what the Super Bowl also brings.
Yes, exactly.
I had saw this one earlier in the day, and I am kind of sneaky excited for it, and that's Air.
Oh, Damon and Ben Affleck. Yeah, that looked like fun.
I'm kind of interested in it. And if you don't know what it's about, it's the story of Air Jordans, basically how it was kind of created.
How one guy was trying to get Michael Jordan and Nike, an up and coming company.
Yeah, I mean Ben Affleck plays Phil Knight, Matt Damon plays Sonny Vaccaro.
Yep.
And the whole thing was, I guess, Nike's basketball division, according to Matt Damon and Jason Bateman. That one scene. That was another one. Jason Bateman's in the movie. I'm like, I'm sold.
If Jason Bateman's in anything, I'm sold.
And they're reviving Chris Tucker. I thought he was dead.
Yep. Right. Exactly.
Career was not
What'd
him.
You think of Michael Keaton as Batman? Philip on Twitter, some good commercials, but when I saw Michael Keaton back as Batman, even if it's not a Batman movie, shut up and take my money.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see that? It was for The Flash. So whatever.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's a Flash movie, and so it's not a Batman movie.
Yeah,
it's the Flash, and I please forgive me. I know all the comic book people are going to go, ah, you get butchered.
That's DC Comics.
But I guess the Flash went back in time and changed time.
Are they doing like a multiverse?
Messed with
situation
the multiverse.
Too?
I don't know. Listen,
are we going to have all the Batmans together? Because you know what? You got to bring back George Clooney in the that bat suit.
Yeah. And then you bring them together. And then the next thing you know, Michael Keaton's in the trailer as Batman. So boom, done. Yeah. Great. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
You know what? I got to watch that one. I totally missed it.
So, yeah. Well, I was trying to remember if there was another one of those commercials that I did like. Last night there was some that were just.
I'm looking through a few. I did remember the speaking of Ben Affleck, him working at a Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh yeah, okay.
I thought that was fun until J-Lo showed up.
Yeah, J-Lo showed up,
and then you know she's like, "Is this your day job? Well, I thought you." I was like, "That's stupid. You ruined it."
I had a tweet last night. By the way, they were shoving electric vehicles down our throats last night. Everybody was selling an electric car, but I had a tweet last night. Will Ferrell was in that one where he's talking about how Netflix is now putting more electric vehicles in their movies.
Right.
And he was in the zombie apocalypse. And I said, yeah, well, it's very unlikely the power plant will be working during the zombie apocalypse.
Solar.
To get your car
it's solar
charged.
Then.
Yeah, it's got to be solar if you want to get out of the zombie apocalypse. I'm watching this apocalyptic show on HBO now called The Last of Us. And it's very, like, the guy is siphoning gasoline out of abandoned cars. To put in his car so that they can go across the country for this thing.
Is that any good? Do we need to start watching that?
I like it. I never played the video game, so I have no idea.
I didn't even know it was based on a video game.
Yeah, it's based on a video game. I never played it. I didn't, but I like it. I like the show.
I feel culturally aware now.
Yeah, he's siphoning gas. He's like, it's an apocalypse. There's all these abandoned cars. There's gasoline is still pretty
good. That's what you
would
do.
You would siphon the gas and then you put it in your car. Electric vehicles. If there's no place to charge it up with power, you're done. You're not going anywhere. You're dead. So you're going to die in the zombie apocalypse if you're in an electric vehicle. Because electric vehicle is going to run out, and then you're finished.
Unless you know how to manipulate solar panels and wire them in.
Yes, exactly. By the way, Philip has pointed out that Keaton is the only acceptable Batman. So don't go with the Clooney, Val Kilmer Batman.
I just
universe.
Want the Clooney suit. Wasn't that the one with the nipples?
That was the one with the nipples.
I just want that. That needs to return.
Exactly.
But I will amend what you said, Philip. I did like Christian Bale.
I like Christian Bale. Yeah, I like Christian Bale. So
I thought
he was
a good Batman.
Yeah. And I thought Ben Affleck was all right. I didn't mind him. I didn't think he was all that
awful. You didn't hate him.
I didn't hate him.
He's
I
not
didn't
your
love
top.
Him.
You know,
he's not my top. But
maybe, you know, maybe top three just because of the ones that they have done.
So, Terry Bradshaw I thought was awful last night on the stage. I think Fox has to stop this. That's enough.
Let his character get the best of him, hasn't he?
I am a gigantic Terry Bradshaw fan. Terry Bradshaw is my favorite player in my life. He is the first superstar as a kid that I loved. I used to draw Bradshaw jerseys. I made a Bradshaw jersey with a T-shirt once. I love Terry. So I will always love Terry Bradshaw. He's one of my favorites. But he cannot do those stage things anymore.
Nope.
Anymore. You want to put him on a chair and give his thoughts on stuff, fine. But these moments deserve real interviews. And he is bumbling up there asking dumb questions. He made a comment about Andy Reid's weight and then, like, said, come waddle over here. Right. And then was talking about being old and not wanting to and retiring. Like, enough. Like, I'm not saying you need to stick Chris Myers up there. He's fantastic at that. You don't have to go with a complete interviewee. You can have a little personality. But I think it's time Bradshaw's finished with that role. He's not good at it anymore. He's not good.
No, you need to. Maybe that's Tom Brady's role.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what you pay him $375 million dollars for.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. I get it. He's a big guy. But you know what? Fox has got a stable of good people that can. Tom Rinaldi's on their staff for crying out loud. Tom Rinaldi's excellent.
So much better.
At this, you don't need to throw.
And correct
Terry
me
Bradshaw
if I'm wrong. Here. Correct me if I'm wrong. Though, wasn't it always the play-by-play guy who used to get down there and do it?
Like,
didn't Jim Nance? Jim Nance does it for CBS.
Jim Nance does it for CBS.
What's Kevin doing?
Yeah, get Kevin Burkhardt down there. Let him do it. Take a break. Send it to the studio. Escort Kevin Burkhardt down there.
They have their own private elevator that gets down to the field in like 6 seconds.
They got security that will move people and go, move, move, move. We got to get this guy here. They'll make it fast for him. Get him down there.
They're still setting up the stage. By the time the game's over and he does his wrap-up, you have plenty of time to get
down
there.
Yeah, you kick it down to Kirk Menefee and the crew, let them do something for 15 minutes. It's plenty of time to get down the elevator and get on the field.
Yep.
Please. But enough with Bradshaw asking dumb questions and being goofy. And whatnot. It's silly. It's absolutely silly. And it ruins the moment of the moment, which is very, very important to the individuals up on the stage and to the fan base. And he's acting like a goof.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. We're going to have a good, the bad, and the dumb NFL edition coming up in hour number three as we continue to talk about Super Bowl 57. Look, again, the great performance of Patrick Mahomes given the ankle injury and what he did in the second half. The defense of the Philadelphia Eagles surprisingly disappointing in the second half. I mean, Kansas City really took it to the Eagles in that second half. But Jalen Hurts was magnificent. Outside of the fumble, he was really good, really good. But this game is going to be marred by this holding call. And LeBron James even put out a tweet, as everybody did. His hand on his back had no effect on the route. This game was too damn good to have that call dictate the outcome at the end. Damn. By the way, I have no horse in the race, just a professional opinion. Well, I'm fine with LeBron's opinion. I'm fine with any opinion. It really goes both ways on this. My feeling on it is it was a holding call. It was the correct call. I may not like when it was, but I'm a little nervous about giving referees the power to dictate time and place. And I honestly think LeBron James would not want to see that in the NBA, right? Now, don't get me wrong. We have plenty of NBA games where referees swallow the whistle. But that's usually what they sort of decide to do. It's not a dictate from the league to say, hey, in a close game in the final 2 minutes, let them hack each other to death. The official statement by every one of these leagues is it doesn't matter time and place. If it's a penalty, it's a penalty, and you call it when you call it. That's where I would get a little nervous. I'm like many of you. I didn't want to see the game come down like this. I didn't want to see the game end like this. Of course. Now, if I'm a Chiefs fan, of course that's the way I want it to go. And if I'm an Eagles fan, I naturally would have wanted it to go the other way. But again, I'm also a person that doesn't want a slippery slope that could result on this. I'm always trying to look at the big picture in all of this. All right, so a holding call where the receiver is trying to release on a timing route and he gets held up because it was a hold. Well, in a tie game in the final 2 minutes, we don't call that. We also don't call pass interference. We also don't call roughing the passer. We also don't call holding on the offensive line. We also don't call clipping. We also, like, where would it end? Like, do you make a list of the calls that you shouldn't call? Do you make a list of the things that you can still call in the final 2 minutes? Like, does it need to be a tie game? What if the Chiefs needed a field goal to tie the game? What if it was within 6 points? What if it was within two scores? Like, now where do we go? Like, is there still plenty of time for a team to get back into a game? Like, once you tell officials, referee the game in the best interest of the entertainment part of the game, you run into a lot of problems. A lot of problems. You might as well not have them on the field at all. See, that's I think, is the larger picture to this that I think is missing. It is easy for us as consumers of the product to be dissatisfied with the product we received. And I think that's what it is, right? Is that the NFL goes, here's the Super Bowl, guys. It's the biggest game of the year. It's the biggest stage. Here it is, everybody. Tend your parties. Have everybody over. Watch the commercials. Watch these two teams battle it out. And then, oh, by the way, we can't guarantee you a close game, but if we do, this will be awesome, right? Then we do get a close game, and then we get this call. And we see that Bradbury held on to the jersey, right? We see that. And again, as a timing route, Mahomes is throwing to a spot that he thinks Smith-Schuster is going to be. So the referee clearly said, hey, he's trying to release to the outside, and he was held up on a hold on the jersey. That has to be called. That's why we threw the flag. Bradbury says afterwards, yep, I did grab onto the jersey. We're not arguing whether or not it was a ticky-tack. It may or may not have been a hold. Everybody agrees it was a hold that was involved on the play, right? Smith-Schuster said he was held. The guy who committed the penalty, James Bradbury, he said he held him. The referee said there was no doubt amongst anybody that was around that at that area that there was a grab on the jersey. Replay showed that there was a grab on the jersey. Everybody's arguing time and place. And I'm telling you, slow down. I know it hurts. I know it hurts. You want the game to be Eagles get the ball. Now they have a chance to tie the game with a field goal or take the lead with a touchdown with a minute and change. We all wanted that. We all wanted that. We were watching two teams play their guts out. And that's what we wanted. We did not want what we saw, which is the worst way to end a game if you're a neutral observer. Right? Where you get a fresh set of downs and you can run the clock out and the other team has one timeout. There's nothing they can do. And you're running to the goal line, getting down to the one on purpose so you can run more time on the clock and kick a chip field goal. Nobody likes that. Why? Because it's a slow painful way for a game to end as a neutral observer looking for just the entertainment value, right? It's a slow, painful way where you can see it a mile away and it just comes down to that. You want the urgency. You want the edge of your seat energy. That's what you've waited all game for. It's a tight ball game. It's a 10-point game at halftime. The Chiefs get right back into this thing. The Chiefs take the lead. The Eagles come back and tie it up. They need a 2-point conversion. They get the 2-point conversion. Oh, my goodness. There's so much excitement. There's so much energy. What's the worst way this game could end? Not with a last-second field goal where the Chiefs methodically take time off the clock with a series of plays that the Eagles can't stop. I think all of us would have accepted that. No, it ends with this call that's made on third down that gives a fresh set of downs that allows for the slow, painful way that you can predict the game is going to end. Oh, they're not even going to score a touchdown. They're not even going to try to get into the end zone. They're just going to get in victory formation, take a couple of kneel downs, set in Buckner for a 27-yard field goal. Boom, done. We're done. And then what do we have now? The Eagles throwing a Hail Mary where they can't even throw the ball to the end zone. We don't want the game to end that way. And I can understand that. So again, using the scale analogy that I've used before, on the one hand, what do you have? The pure entertainment of Super Bowl 57, the thrill of a last second drive by a team trying to get back into a game, right? And who knows? Buckner may have missed the long field goal that would have been the case had that call not have been made, right? All of those things. It might have been a tie game when the Eagles got the ball back. They might have run the opening kickoff down to midfield, and who knows? But because we were denied that, people are willing to sacrifice and giving the power to referees, because that's what you're doing. If you think that call should not have been made, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, think of the consequences and whether or not you're okay with the consequences. If you think that call shouldn't have been made, then what do you want to see in the final two games? 2 minutes of a game. What do you want to see? Chaos? Do you want to see absolute, absolute wild, wild west, everything goes? Oh, we can't make that call. After all, we have the entertainment of the game to watch out for. This might anger people around the country who just want to see a setup. You want to come talk conspiracy? You guys always go to the conspiracy card every time something like, oh, yeah, exactly the way the NFL scripted it. They wanted the Chiefs to win. Okay. But now you're calling for referees to base every one of their decisions on time, place, and entertainment value of the game. What do you think that's going to lead to at the end of the game? Clearly, number 57 held that receiver as he broke the route. Why wasn't that call? Well, we did see that. He did grab him by the waist and practically tackle him to the ground. But you understand, it's a tie game with a minute 30 left. Now, we as officials talked about it, and we anticipated that what we were going to get is that they were going to have to kick a field goal. And that gave the other team about a minute 20. We would assume with the made field goal to come down and try to tie the game out. We hope America appreciates our efforts in doing this. That's what you're going to get. So I'm okay with you saying that game, that they shouldn't have called that. But I'm also wondering if you want a world, a sports world, where the only thing that matters is not a fair call of the game as best as they can, as human as possible. But instead, you want a game where the only thing that matters is your entertainment. And that's, I think, is the dangerous part of this. And again, LeBron James's tweet is echoed by a lot of people. But at the same time, what does LeBron want that in his NBA? Does LeBron want, when he goes to the line, when he drives the lane, does he want no call to be made so the other team has an opportunity to close the gap late in the game against his Lakers? Right? That it's a dangerous spot to be in. Everybody that was involved in the play admitted there was a hold. So to me, I'm okay with the hold. I'm okay. It stunk. It doesn't mean I like the result. It doesn't mean we were robbed of a good ending, but it needed to be made.